Have you ever read that bumper sticker, "I may be getting older, but I refuse to grow up"? You ever see that one? You know? And yeah, I've got a chuckle out of it before too. And I know what they're saying. I know. But today's message, actually kind of right there with that, it's entitled, "Are You Maturing or Just Getting Older?" And I think that's a question that we need to answer. Because it's not a given that just because you're getting older in the faith, that you're getting more mature in the faith, as we're going to see here. In chapter 5, the first 10 verses, the writer of Hebrews is really kind of beginning to show the difference with Jesus as our high priest after the order of Melchizedek versus the inferior priesthood through the Aaronic line. In other words, through the line of Aaron, Moses' brother, that high priest, and showing how much far superior Jesus is. But it's like he gets in the middle of his thought and hits the brakes. Just like, you know, wait, hang on a second. And then he gives us verse 11. Look at verse 11. He says, "Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing." Ooh, ow, huh? And just to kind of make it even more plain, I looked at a number of different translations, and I think the New Living Translation words it the best. Listen to what it says there in verse 11. He says, "There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen." Now, he goes on in chapter 6 and starts again to talk about Jesus as a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. But here he kind of stops. He brings this point up, this problem of them being spiritually dull and that they don't seem to listen. And remember, he's already kind of hinted at that back in chapter 2. Remember when we saw that, where he said that we need to give the more earnest heed to what we have heard, and we saw how that means to listen, pay attention, and act upon it. Well, now he's back to that subject there. And really, when you hear this, I mean, how would you take it if you were sitting in the congregation that this letter to the Hebrews was originally written to? I mean, think about it, okay? You come to church. Let's say today, you come to church. And I don't say anything else. I pray, and then I get up and say, "You know, folks, the Lord spoke to me and all, and He's got some really deep things that He wants to share with you. And oh man, I'd really like to share them with you. But you know, you're spiritually dull. You don't listen anyway." How would you feel? How would you take that? How would you react as you're sitting there? Would you get angry? Would you start justifying your spiritual immaturity? You know, would you want to get up and punch me or something, you know? Or slap me, silly, you know? But, you know, would you make excuses or want to argue about it? Or would you become concerned? Would maybe kind of a streak of terror run through your heart right there? Like, me? Really? I am? Would you be concerned and would you want to know more? Well, how, Pastor? What do you mean? How have I become dull? Where haven't I been listening? Would that be your reaction? Now, I think the answer to that question would be pretty telling, wouldn't it? It should let us know right where we're at. Well, let's go ahead and look at verses 12 through 14 and see how he elaborates on this whole subject of being spiritually dull and kind of hard of hearing spiritually. Verse 12, he says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." one of the words that you might not be familiar with, we don't use it a lot, is that word oracles. And it simply means sayings or messages from God. And what he's talking about is the Word of God, Scripture, there. And he says that we, you know, at a time when you should be teaching the Word of God, basically is what he's saying, we need to go back to the first principles. And that's a term that means like going back to the first steps of learning, to your ABCs, to your 1-2-3s kind of thing. Well, what he's saying is, you know, spiritually, we got to go back to Sunday school as a little kid now. You know, like a little toddler. Repeat after me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And that's kind of what he's saying right there. We got to go back to the very first principles. And it's even worse than that. He says that you've come to need milk and not solid food. They, really, what he's saying there, we're spiritual babies. It's babies that can't eat solid food at all, right? It's babies that need just milk. He said, you guys, that's where you're at right now. You're spiritual babies. Now, think about babies for a minute. Think about some of the attributes of babies. I know most of the gals are thinking, oh, they're so cute and cuddly. Oh, could you, you know, that kind of thing. But now let's get real, all right? Let's think about some of the characteristics of babies. First of all, babies are very self-absorbed, aren't they? It's all about me. It's what I want. And because of that, they're very inconsiderate, aren't they? Probably never thought of a baby being inconsiderate, but they are, huh? If they wake up 2 o'clock in the morning and they got a wet diaper, buddy, you're changing that diaper. You're not getting any sleep. It doesn't matter if you got to get up early and go to work. They're going to let you know, I want my diaper changed. It's about me, not about you. Now, they're not saying that, but that's basically what that means, doesn't it? You know, and also, babies are not productive, are they? They don't go out and earn a living and contribute to the family. They just take. You know, they don't even do chores around the house. They just lay around all day. And in fact, what they do make is just messes and noise, right? I mean, you're always cleaning up after them from one end or the other, right? And that's just the way it is. And they need constant attention, don't they? You can't wake a baby up in the middle, you know, in the morning and then say, hey, I got to go to work. I'll see you later, right? And, you know, the 3-4 month old, you can't do that. You got to be with them, constantly giving them attention every waking minute. One of the reasons is because they will get into trouble. If they, especially if they're able to crawl, but you know, you cannot take a baby and prop them up, sit them up. Okay, they're able to sit now and sit them on the floor by the wall near a power outlet and then hand them your car keys. You know, and say, hey, go at it. And the deal. Because babies, they easily get into trouble because they have no discernment. They're not able to discern wrong from right, what's good or bad for them. You have to teach that to them. But babies don't have that discernment. They get into trouble real easy. Also, like he says here, they can't handle solid food. They don't have any teeth. They can't chew. They can't swallow or digest solid food. They can only handle milk. Now, makes you want to go out and have a few babies right now, doesn't it? All those things. It's like, Pastor Tony, you're a jerk, man. Babies are a blessing. Well, I agree. They are a blessing. But think about this. I mean, what I just said, that's true, isn't it? If you've raised babies before, if you've had a baby, I'm not lying, right? But the thing is, what is one of the biggest blessings during that whole process is the fact that you know that they're going to mature. You're looking forward to what they're going to grow to be. I heard Dobson one time saying that it's important for parents to understand you're not raising babies. You're not raising kids. You're raising an adult. And that's how we have to think about it. That's the end product, you know, is that we're looking forward for that baby that we have to end up being a mature adult, productive, God-fearing, God-loving and serving adult, right? That's what our goal is. And so that's one of those things that makes it a blessing, that we get through those times of waking up 2-3 in the morning, you know, and changing diapers and doing the bottle feeding and all that kind of stuff. We get through it just like, you know, this baby's going to grow up to be an adult someday. And the way that babies act, all those things we just mentioned, those are normal, right? For a 6-month-old, for a 5 or 6 month old, 3 month old, whatever, that's real normal. But for a 6-year-old, they ought not to be doing those things, right? There should be some progress. And if a 6-year-old or a 10-year-old, 16-year-old is acting just like a baby, well, that's a sad situation, isn't it? If they're still doing that, I think 16-year-olds, you know what? It's kind of like they do revert back to that, other than the eating part. And they're able to eat food, man. They eat you out of house and home. But a lot of times they get back to that being self-absorbed and inconsiderate and all, you know, not productive and all that. But the point that he's making here is that at a time when they should be teachers, when they should be helping others, when they should be really being productive members of the kingdom of God, they're back to being babies. They can't do solid food. The only thing they can handle is just milk. And he goes on. Well, before I go on here, let's think about this just for a second. Just with all those things I mentioned about a baby, let's think about those in the spiritual realm. How do those things that we talked about, self-absorbed, inconsiderate, not productive, making just messes and all that stuff, do any of those things fit you spiritually? Ask yourself that question and be honest, too. Because real easy, as we've talked about before, our hearts are desperate, deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? It's easy to fake ourselves out. But if you think about how we are spiritually, how you are specifically spiritually, any of those things fit? You know, we're supposed to die to ourselves. It's not supposed to be all about us. We're supposed to put others' needs above our own, right? Philippians 2 tells us that, and so is a number of other passages. We're to consider others more than ourselves. And we should be productive members of the kingdom of God. We should be contributing to building up the kingdom of God and being involved in the kingdom of God kind of thing. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, you know, it's like they're always getting in trouble. All they do is make messes. There's always somebody who has to come by and come along behind them and clean up after them kind of thing. Or maybe you're one of them that does the cleaning up. Maybe you're one that God is using to instruct and to encourage and exhort and all that. But really be honest and let God point out maybe some things that aren't where they ought to be right now. And then let's look here now at verse 13. He says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And understand what he's meaning by milk. It's what he mentioned already as those first principles. In fact, he lists some of those first principles in, you just go down a couple verses to chapter 6, look at the first 2 verses. He says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. So those are some of those basic principles. He said, let's go on. And he's really talking about here, like he said, the word of righteousness, as he said, and things that have to do with our moral character, things that we have to do as far as living out our salvation. That these things, these elementary principles, these first principles, these ABCs of the faith, they are necessary, right? I mean, if you're a baby in Christ, if you have just become a Christian, you absolutely need these basic principles. You should be wanting those principles to be understood by yourself and applied in your life. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You should desire that. Lord, I want to know everything that you have for me. I want to grow. But if we're going to continue to grow and get healthy and strong, as a believer, there comes a time when we need more than milk, right? There comes a time when we got to have solid food. But at this time when they should be eating solid food, he says, you know what? You're unskilled in the word of righteousness. You're unskilled. You don't know or understand God's word, is what he's telling. You're not applying it to your life. You don't understand what it is and how it pertains to godly living. Basically, what he's telling them here, you're not practicing it. You're not doing what you ought to be doing as far as believers. You know, if you're going to be skilled at something, you get skilled by practicing, right? And you think about anything that you have ever learned to do. When you first learned it, probably weren't that good at it, were you? But as you practiced it, then you got skilled at it. And some of you who have been on the same job for 10, 15, 20 years, you're probably pretty skilled at what you do. If not, like my pastor used to say, if not, get another job, man, because by 10, 15 years, you're not good at it. You ought to find something else to do. But we should be skilled. And it's as we have become believers in Christ and getting familiar with his word, we ought to become more skilled at handling his word, more skilled at practicing it and applying it than when we first believed. In 2 Peter 1:3, Peter tells us, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. See, he has given to us everything that we need that has anything to do with life and godliness. By the power of his Holy Spirit and through the instruction of his word, the knowledge of him, we can live the kind of lives that God wants us to live. But we need to become skilled at it. We need to handle the word of God and get into it and dig into it. And let God speak to us. Let God change our lives by applying it to us. In verse 14, he kind of turns a corner, gives us a contrast, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. Now, that word full age means someone who is mature. You're a grown-up, is how we would maybe say it there. But he says that solid food, in contrast, solid food belongs to those who are of full age, who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. See, by reason of use, and some of your Bibles may say by practice. A lot of translations use that phrase. And I want to just kind of pull out a couple of words from that and just kind of basically kind of summarize what he's saying. He says, the mature use solid food. They exercise by practicing what they learn, by practicing the word of God. That's what he's saying. That's how we become mature. And as we mature, that's one of our characteristics, that we use solid food, that we use the word of God and practice it, and practice it, and do it, and do it, and do it. And remember, we just looked at this, I think it was last week, wasn't it? In James 1. Verse 22, where he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because it is real easy to deceive ourselves. Oh, yeah, I've been a Christian 40 years. Yeah, I read the Bible. Yeah, I go to church most every Sunday. Yeah, yeah, I'm all right. You know, but yeah, well, isn't that a baby bottle in your back pocket? Yeah, I want to know, well, hey, how's your muscles? You know, how's your spiritual muscles? How are you as far as being productive for the kingdom of God? Just see how these things, you know, come out in your life, kind of deal. That's what I think God wants to know. Because, folks, let's be honest, there's a difference between intake with exercise versus intake with just sitting, isn't there? I mean, if there's that intake with exercise, well, yeah, you become, for the most part, healthy, strong, useful. You can actually do stuff. But if you're just intake and just sitting and not doing it, well, you may be living, but probably going to be unhealthy. You're going to get bigger, but not stronger. You'll still be weak. And for the most part, a lot of times, useless. And so, you know, I think we really need to consider this and how we may be, where we're at on that whole spectrum. I think, you know, as far as an illustration goes, I think God has given us a great illustration in the geography of Israel. If you look at a map, and you look at the Jordan River, you see the Jordan River starts out in the north there, and it goes down, and it goes into the Sea of Galilee, right? And then it continues, same river, out of the Sea of Galilee, and goes into the Dead Sea. The same water that goes into the Sea of Galilee and causes the Sea of Galilee to just be teeming with life. I mean, there's fish in abundance there, and a lot of fishermen make their living there. And there's all kinds of vegetation around it. Life. There's all kinds of life there. But that same water goes into the Dead Sea, and nothing grows there. I mean, nothing. And you know why? Because the mineral content within the Dead Sea is so thick that it can't support life. In fact, you know, it's almost impossible to drown in the Dead Sea. If you go over there and you just kind of stand there in the water that may be over your head, you won't sink. You'll bob at about, you know, just really below your chest. You'd be like a cork because the water is so dense. And the reason for this, see, every drop of water that the Sea of Galilee takes in, it gives out. It is constantly giving everything that it gets. It uses what it gives, and it gives it back out. But the Dead Sea is always taken in, you know, and the evaporation happens, but you know, it doesn't do anything with it. So it gets bigger. The Dead Sea does get bigger, but it's not living. And I think that's the way it is with us. Through the years, I've been a Christian for about 34 years, and I've been a member of two churches, Calvary Chapel of Downey in California and Calvary Chapel of Tucson. And the thing is, both of those churches, very healthy, very strong. The pastors are excellent teachers. And through those years, there have been a number of times where people have come up to me and say, "Yeah, man, I think I'm going to change churches." "Really? Why?" "Well, I'm just not growing anymore, man. I'm just kind of stale, just kind of stagnant." And it didn't take very long to learn to ask this question, because the first couple of guys that did that, you know, I started thinking about why is this? But I saw real quick, and I would ask this question, "Really? Well, what are you doing? Where are you serving? Where are you giving back?" And the answer was always the same. "Oh, nowhere." "Oh, you're just taking in and taking in and not giving back out." And that's what happens. We come in and, you know, spiritually we just kind of get fat and we don't exercise that. And you know what? God's not interested in that. And you know, He will cause you to kind of dry up. He will cause you to kind of get hungry again. It's supposed to get you to wake up and say, "What do I need to do?" But instead, we deceive ourselves. "I'm okay. It's not my fault. It's that pastor I'm sitting under, man." And then we take off. But we need to exercise. We need to practice the Word of God. And not just in serving, but also in when we hear something. We talked about this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago. Actually, it was on Wednesday night. Where if God tells you, "Hey, there's a problem." It doesn't matter who He tells you through. But we should, and like, you know, I mentioned at the first part of this teaching, and that if something was said to you that you got a problem, what would you do about it? We should really search our hearts, search the Scriptures, go to God in prayer. "God, do I have a problem there? Lord, I want to be right with You. I want everything to be right in my life." But if we will not practice the Word of God in our lives, if we won't use the correction that God gives us, and if we want to justify, argue, whatever, "That's not me, that's not me, blah, 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 blah." Well, you know, God's not going to give us any more, because we're not using, we're not practicing what He has already given to us. He'll hold us back. He'll say, "I want to work in your life in that area. Until you do, we ain't going any further." And there are those times when God will do that. And we have to understand that and really be ready to let Him change our lives, no matter how much it hurts. And understand, I totally understand that exercise isn't always pleasant. In fact, sometimes it's painful, isn't it? You know, the old saying, "No pain, no gain." So that's dealing with exercise. And, you know, there was one time in my life where I exercised a lot. But do you know that muscles get bigger? They actually get bigger. And the way they get bigger is by tearing down. In order for a muscle to grow, it has to be tore down first. That's how your muscles, in fact, the term ripped. You know, you have to tear those muscles first by exercising. And then the way God's designed us is that those muscles build themselves back up and build themselves bigger than before. So we have to allow God to cause that pain as we exercise the Word of God so that we can get stronger. And folks, as Christians, we get stronger by dying to ourselves. That's how we get stronger, is as we die to ourselves and as we exercise the Word of God in our lives. Getting into the Word, applying it, practicing it, and then repeating that every day. That's how we get stronger. That's how we're going to grow in Him. And, you know, when you're in the gym, there are all those different machines. I don't know if you've been in a gym before or not, whatever, but I've cruised through them before. But they've got all these different machines, and the machines are designed to work on certain muscle groups, certain particular muscles and all that. And they've got, you know, machines that will work on your legs, and some machines work on your arms, and some on your abs, and all the different muscles and all that stuff. And the deal is that it's kind of cool because when you're working on certain machines, you say, okay, I'm going to really concentrate on, you know, my biceps, you know, and so you're working out and all that kind of stuff. Well, if you practice that, you're continuing to do that all the time, you can actually see the results, can't you? You can see those muscles start to grow. It's like, hey, cool, all right, you know. And it's encouraging when that happens. You're getting bigger and stronger. But it's by reason of use, isn't it? Like he said. By reason of use. You use those muscles, they get bigger. Well, I think that we can look in God's Word and see some things that should be growing in our lives. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And God is so good to show us this. This is one of those self-tests that we could do. And if you're not sure, ask your spouse. Do you see these things in my life? Are they growing? But we should see at some level of growth all of these things budding and growing in our lives. In chapter 5 of Galatians, starting in verse 22, he starts talking about the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and some of your Bibles may say patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Do you see those things growing in your life? You should be able to see a difference from the time when you first became a Christian until now, especially if you've been a Christian for a long time. You should start seeing some pretty ripped muscles in those areas, you know? There should be some real differences in your life. If not, maybe you're just sucking on a bottle. Maybe you're not practicing. Maybe you're one of the spiritual babies. If you don't see these things at some point of growth, growing in your life, at some level of maturity, if you don't see them, you need to pray and say, God, help me to apply what I'm hearing today. Help me to take the more earnest heed. Help me not to be one who would be spiritually dull and not listening. Help me, Lord, to do this. And in verse 24, he goes on and says, and we're still in Galatians 5 here, he says, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And think about that, just like what we've been talking about. See, if we're Christ's, well, then we should crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. So in other words, it's not about what you desire anymore. It's not about what you are passionate about. It's what God wants for you. You're to have died to yourself. I'm to have died to myself. It's not about me. I've had people, I can't even tell you how many times where you talked about, well, you know, where are you serving? I don't want to make a commitment to serve. Really? And that just kind of, what? You know, it just throws me off. The first couple times I heard it, I just, what? And then the reason? Because then I would have to commit to being here. I wouldn't be able to go fishing when I want. I wouldn't be able to go here. I wouldn't be able to go there. What's that sound like? I, me, you know, self-absorbed baby kind of thing. Isn't it? Or am I wrong? Anybody think that that's a wrong application there? Think about that. I know, it's kind of hard to when you kind of think about that stuff. But he also says there, verse 25, he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Exercise. That's walking, isn't it? Walking is exercise in the Spirit. My wife, she loves to walk. I hate to walk. I hate it. That's how I got into bicycle racing years ago, was because I was walking with my wife and then running with her, and I got into cycling and that. But lately, you know, I put on some pounds, and it's like, I need to exercise, all right? I have been doing too much intake and not enough exercise. And so she got me to walking, and I've lost a little over 20 pounds by walking with her. And this is how it is. My muscles are getting stronger now. I'm healthier, that kind of thing, because I'm walking with my wife. The same is true in the spiritual, folks. We have to walk with the Lord. We can't sit there. It doesn't say, and those who are Christ, then be carried in the Spirit. He's just going to put you over his shoulder and carry you. Now, there may be times when you get hammered, knocked down, and bang, you know, you're messed up, that he'll pick you up and carry you. I know, the footprints in the sand thing, right? But folks, that's not the norm. What he wants us to do is walk with him. Build up those muscles. Get healthy. Get strong. How do you see yourself as we've kind of discussed these things? Do you see yourself as somebody who's been hanging out in the nursery or somebody that's been in the gym? Do you see yourself as somebody who's just waiting for somebody to come by and change your diaper, burp you or whatever, you know? Oh, all right. Yeah. Or do you see yourself as somebody who is productive, who is doing their part to build the kingdom of God? How do you see yourself? And be honest. Because like we've seen in the last several weeks, how he has said here in Hebrews, today is the day to obey. Today is the day to hear and to act upon what God has said. Not tomorrow, but today. We need to believe him and obey him. See, we've talked before about what faith is. That the best definition I've ever heard of faith is believing God enough to do what he says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says that the word of God works in those who believe. And if we're believing enough to do what he says, then we'll be exercising those things. We'll take the solid food as God gives it. We'll apply it. We'll do it. And do it and do it. And his word will work in our lives. And we will see growth. We'll be maturing. We'll be growing. And not just getting older. May the Lord continue to speak to you on this, and that you would really be ready to hear him throughout the week, as he may point out some things to you. But folks, let's commit to maturing, not just getting older, huh? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, even when it stings. But Lord, we want to be right with you. We know you've made us right. We know that positionally, we are seated with you in heavenly places. But practically, Lord, we want to live it out. We want to practice what pleases you. Lord, we don't want to be immature babies sucking our thumb and just needing milk. Lord, help us to practice what we know. Help us to allow you, Lord, to do the work that you want to through the power of your Spirit and the power of your Word. Help us, Father, to be serving you in such a way that we would know that we're mature. Use us, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.